Welcome to Beyond Blathers, the podcast where we dive deeper into the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. I'm Sophia Osborne.
And I'm Olivia DeBercier.
And if you want to support the show, check out our merch store at etsy.com/shop/beyondblathers to see the stickers and postcards we have for sale.
And tell your friends about us.
So this week, we are back with an insect episode. Olivia is going to be telling us about the citrus longhorned beetle.
That's right. This is a kind of pretty looking bug, but it's also a pest. I feel like that's really common with a lot of pesky animals, like or weeds. Like pest weeds are so often like these beautiful flowers. Kind of one of those situations.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear more about this one. But first, let's see what Blathers has to say. So if you bring a citrus longhorned beetle to Blathers, he'll say, "The citrus longhorned beetle is a putrid pest and a grave threat to trees. Pooh, it's true. Adults possess powerful jaws and use them to chomp through hardwood and plant fibers with ease. The little larvae are no better, boring bullet-like holes into innocent trees with gusto, citrus trees especially. Voracious and vile indeed." It's hard to tell if this is like Blathers editorializing or if they're really that's bad.
Honestly, reading about it, people like are very mean to them. No one likes them. I feel like Blathers is speaking like many pest managers here, but yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, so the citrus longhorned beetle is a longhorned beetle. This is the common name for like a whole group of like 35,000 species in the family Cerambycidae. And I really like this group. I think they're so pretty. They come in a huge variety of shapes and colors and sizes. But most species have these really long antennae that look a little bit like curving ram's horns, thus the name. And longhorn beetles tend to get a bit of a bad reputation as crop pests, or rather more so forestry pests. But it should be noted that while the ones that are pests take over most of the attention that this group of beetles gets, there are plenty of longhorned beetles that aren't pests.
And so the citrus longhorned beetle is one of those pests, though. And we will be giving them attention.
Yes, definitely. I think it's a kind of interesting that they included so many like forestry pests in this game. Like, they have a couple longhorned beetles in the game, and I just think it's funny that they chose this one instead of like something that's a bit more ornamental.
Yeah, you kind of have to wonder if they're like biting through all the trees on people's islands. Who knows?
I think that would be a really fun like addition to the game. Like, you have to like collect all the pest bugs or something.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It would be very educational too. Like, good. You know, they're always trying to raise awareness about different pests so people can report them if they see them. So, you know, I think this is a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Next iteration of Animal Crossing better have this. So could you talk a bit more about how they exactly cause problems for the forestry industry?
Yeah, like Blathers says, it's sort of like childlike parent here. It really all comes down to the life cycle of the citrus longhorned beetle. So longhorned beetles in general lay their eggs inside the bark of trees, and the citrus longhorned can lay her sort of small rice-shaped eggs into the tree of one by chewing a slit, like a T-shaped slit, into the bark of a tree. And she'll lay about 100 eggs, so quite a few. And then once those eggs hatch, the larva will bury under the surface of the bark, leaving behind little wood shaving bug poop, or frass as it's officially called. So basically, if you looked at the bottom of the tree, you might see like a lot of this wood shaving looking stuff. I will say this happens with pretty much any bark boring beetle of any kind. So just because you see this doesn't mean that specifically a citrus longhorned beetle is there. It might be some other kind of bark living creature, but that is one of the indications that they're in the tree. And then as these larvae age, they tunnel deeper and deeper into the bark. And that's because their jaws are getting stronger. They're just able to chew more so they can get into those like harder parts of the wood. And they'll start to disrupt the flow of water and the nutrients in the tree. So it's a big problem.
Yeah, I guess that is something that I've seen around here in the trees. Like, you can see bore marks and stuff, but I assume they're not from these guys, as we don't really get citrus trees around here in Vancouver.
Yeah, well, I mean, as we'll talk about, they're not restricted to citrus trees, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, this just sounds, I don't know if the trees, I don't know how much they can feel, but it sounds very uncomfortable.
It definitely is. Like, it is this bug creating a tunnel system through the tree's body. Like, trees can have it really rough sometimes, especially because once the larva has grown and pupated and it's ready to exit the tree as an adult, it'll create these round exit holes on or around the exposed roots to emerge from. And not only does this allow the beetle to exit the trees, but it allows other things to enter the tree, including diseases, bacteria, and even other pests. So even though a tree may be finally rid of the larva for the time being, it can become way more vulnerable to other issues in the future. And this is sort of what happens with pretty much any of these bark-boring beetles. That's why they become so problematic in forestry, in crops, that sort of thing.
And how long does that process from larva to adults take?
I read between 1 to 3 years, depending on the climate.
Wow, that's a long time to be born, like, tunneling around inside the tree.
It is a really long time. And they tend to, because they're bigger beetles, it seems like they usually go for bigger trees. But that also sucks because it takes a long time for a tree to grow to that size.
Yeah.
And the other issue is it can take a while to recognize their presence in an area, because if you just have all of these little larval beetles, you might not necessarily notice until many years have gone by and suddenly you have a whole bunch of them.
And could you talk a bit about what the adults look like?
Yeah, the adult beetles are quite big. Their body at its smallest is about the length of like a quarter, but they can get a bit longer than that. And the other thing is that their antenna make them look so much bigger. The male's antenna are twice as long as their body. The females are about the length of their body, but like, you got to think that that ends up taking a lot of space. I remember one time, this is kind of a like tangent, but back when I was a kid and we were doing road trips out to the mountain, they have these long-horned beetles called spruce sawyers. And we were like at a gas station with my family, and my mom had the door open. She was like stretching her legs, and this spruce sawyer flew in. And like, I just remember like the terror that this huge long-horned beetle caused in this car. It was so funny. Like it was really freaky. I mean, at the time I didn't know very much about bugs, and I was just like, what is this like crazy creature that just flew in? The citrus longhorn beetle, though, specifically regarding its appearance, it's not just big, but it's also really pretty looking. It's got this dark blue, black color on its body. Its legs are a bit more sort of ashy gray. And then it's got little white spots on the body and along the antenna. So I think they're actually really pretty.
And where are they found?
Originally, they're from Asia. So a whole bunch of different countries. They're kind of good at living in a multitude of places. But they were originally identified as a crop pest in citrus trees there, thus why they're called the citrus longhorned beetle. But now they've started to expand their range, and they are not just confined to citrus trees. They will use other leafy or deciduous trees, so maples, poplars, really all kinds of plants, including ones that are really important for food, so you know, apple trees, other things like that. And the way they would get around is the beetles and their larvae would be accidentally shipped out of Asia through lumber shipments. They could also spread through live nursery tree trade and through bonsai trees, actually, which I thought was really interesting because they're such small trees. And like, you think of them as like something people are looking at a lot, so maybe you would notice them. But no, bonsai trees, they can get out that way. And they've been found in Europe, the States, and Canada. Luckily, the US says that they've eradicated the ones that were detected, so that population seems under control. Same thing for Canada. But, you know, now with globalization, it's just so much easier for pests like these to get around. There's a lot of work that the average member of the public doesn't see that goes into monitoring for alien species that could threaten crops and other economically important industries. Just to give you a small idea of the work that goes into this, I was reading this quote from a paper by Herard and Maspero from 2019, and this is kind of a wild quote. So they say, in North America, every few interceptions of citrus longhorn beetle have been made at ports of entry or post-entry. In Canada, only one interception was made in 1997, and in the USA, a total of 5 interceptions were made in 1999 and 2001. The first serious post-entry interception was in 2001 at a nursery near Tukwila, Washington, USA, where 3 live longhorned beetle adults were collected, and 8 exit holes were counted in a consignment of 369 bonsais from South Korea. The whole consignment of bonsais were destroyed, and to prevent establishment of a breeding population, a $2.2 million eradication program was conducted in 2002, which involved the destruction of all the susceptible host trees outside the nursery. Trees were monitored for 5 years, and the quarantine was lifted in 2007. As of 2017, no establishment of citrus longhorn beetle populations have been reported in North America.
Oh my gosh.
That's a ton of work. And we're talking... The reason I wanted to read this whole thing is we're talking 8 exit holes. 8 yeah. beetles caused this really dramatic organization of eradication. And I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't worth it. Like, 2.2 million is not that bad considering how much damage pests can do. But yeah, it's a big industry. I remember when I went to the Vancouver Conference of Entomology for Canada and the States, a huge number of the talks and the people there were there because they were pest experts. There's a lot of stuff that goes into pest management, so it's a big industry.
Yeah, I didn't really think about trees being quarantined, but it makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the reason, like, borders are so picky, or even like borders between provinces here in Canada are picky about lumber and firewood, especially like these sort of mm-hmm. raw woods.
Yeah, I mean, from my dad's house, like watching the water, a lot of freights go by and there's a lot, like you just see a lot of barges with tons of raw wood heading from Vancouver over to Asia. And yeah, you don't know what's in there. Like, they're huge raw logs.
Yeah, a lot of stuff will live in firewood too. Like, I think of all the wildlife I found just like turning over hunks of wood. Yeah, it's interesting. I find it interesting, but that's longhorn beetle. I mean, most of what we know about them are facts about them being pests, but it's an interesting thing.
Is there anything they do in the countries where they're more widespread to try to control them?
Yeah. So in China, where the beetle, you know, is native, ants are a pretty major predator of the larva. There's various species that will specifically eat a lot of the citrus longhorned beetle larva. So that helps a little bit. Sometimes what they'll do in different crops is they will put these sort of metal guards around the base of the tree where the female would lay her eggs. And that way it sort of protects the tree. And then trees may also be treated with pesticides by injecting the pesticide into the base of the tree. And then that pesticide gets circulated through the tree's branches and leaves. So it would kill any of the larvae that are in there eating the tree. I should also note, I mean, I said this before, but like, because we are talking about pests, just because you see boring holes in the tree or you see something that looks like a citrus longhorned beetle, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is a citrus longhorned beetle, but it's always good to sort of make yourself aware of the various pests that might be in your area. There's tons of public health and public communications out there for different municipalities that'll say, like, keep an eye out for this thing. So it's always good to know what are those things. So if you have one in your backyard, you can report it to your municipality or whoever and get it dealt with. Asian long-horned beetle is the other long-horned beetle that's a big pest concern. I think they've eradicated it pretty well in North America, but it looks really, really similar to the citrus long-horned beetle, like even down to the sort of white spots on its back. So that's another one to always keep an eye out for.
Yeah, I feel like this was an important episode just to kind of talk about these sorts of pests. And I appreciated the amount of detail about that. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Olivia. That was a fun, short little episode, and we'll be back next week with more. So thanks everyone so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Beyond Blathers, and check out our TikTok at Beyond_Blathers.
And don't forget to take a look at our shop at Etsy.com/shop/BeyondBlathers.
Tune in next week to learn more about the insects, fish, and fossils you can find in Animal Crossing New Horizons. Bye.
Bye.